Warning. This podcast contains strong language and immature subject matter. The strong language contained could make a Wolverine purr. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, the Riverdale Carnival presents the Archies.
Take care of the kissing booth while we're singing, Sabrina.
Okay, everybody, here we go with our new hit record, Sugar, Sugar!
Sugar, oh honey, honey, you are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you.
Welcome to the Lonely Hearts Comic Book Podcast, in which four guys talk about romance comics and romances in comics. I'm Siskoid. I'll likely be called Mike through most of the podcast. And with me are Marty.
Hi.
Bass.
Hi.
And Fern.
Bonjour.
Episode 4, and in this episode, we'll be talking about the Archie, Betty, and Veronica triangle, as it was portrayed in the classic comics, and later on in the show, how it was resolved in the Life with Archie series, which culminated last year, rather famously, with Archie's death.
Gasp.
So, Archie Comics.
Okay.
That's one of the longest-running romantic triangles in history.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. That's pretty amazing that this comic has been running for so long.
1940.
Yeah, and it's...
They're stuck in a time bubble in high school.
Well, yeah, I actually have that in my notes later on with the Life of Archie.
That they break the bubble.
Yeah. They break the bubble where... They still keep the 40s, 50s sensibility. There's a lot of the aesthetics that are still there, still present, but they still modernize it enough that it doesn't feel jarring to see Archie, you know, let's go to the malt shop in his 1920s jalopy that he needs to crank up in the front. You know, yeah, because, you know, he's one of these kids, like in our first story, or the pickup, that he's one of those kids that can afford a convertible. But at least in those comics, it's a beater. They still kept that kind of 50s sensibility of Riverdale.
I think Riverdale is like the wholesome American town.
Yeah, exactly.
Prototypical.
They even mention it in one like the first panels. He meets one of those characters who's like, Riverdale hasn't changed and it keeps going, and you know,
it's kind of retro.
Yeah.
But in the classic comic, we'll be talking about Life with Archie later on. In the normal Archie comics, so the Betty and Veronica comics, the Jughead comics, all of those bathroom readers we all had in our houses at some point.
Disclaimer, I never liked Archie comics.
Is it because they had the Sonic the Hedgehog comics as well, Marty?
No, I read those more. I was looking for the comics spin-offs in the Archie comics because you had like Sabrina the Teenage Witch in there too.
Josie and Pussycats.
Yeah, I was looking for those instead. I found Archie so boring as a kid. I was like, oh, there's Sabrina in here somewhere.
True. I mean, it's a certain level of, it's usually gags.
Yeah.
I mean, the Archie cartoons had adventure stories, and some of the comics had adventure stories.
I read more of Jughead spinoff.
Yeah.
Those gags were funnier
Well, they were about, you know, a guy being hungry all the time.
Yeah.
A lot of the jokes in the Archie comics, it had to be vaguely, you know, very sexual, because there's always an Archie comic.
Sexual?
Yeah, I know. There's Archie. There's this one panel of him coming out of the ocean, and he said, I had to beat off two guys to get to you girls, and the scene before him is him fist fighting two guys in the water. But the writers had to know what they were writing down. Like, it was kind of a second level of, you know, this is for the parents or the older people reading, go, ha ha, you cheeky monkey.
I don't even think that's true. I think
you know.
I made up a cover. We'll look for the cover. We'll put it on the blog.
Yeah.
If it exists.
Oh, it does.
I think so. I seem to remember. remember it, but we probably all read Archie comics in some form. Yeah. That's how I learned to read English.
Okay.
Through Archie and Richie Rich.
I think me too.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I learned it, it was, by watching Sesame Street.
It was pretty, well, no, to speak, but to write, read.
They always do letters and numbers.
Well, that's not enough. but the first stuff I read or I was read to and translated simultaneously, whatever, were those comics, which, so I was younger than the Archie characters were, obviously, so I didn't care about, you know, dating jokes, even stuff in the classes they were in.
Yeah, they were just like the cool high school kids you looked up to when you were younger, right?
Or didn't know.
Yeah. Or didn't know.
Or thought they were 25.
Well, that's the thing. High school comics are never for high school kids. They're always for middle school kids. Those are the ones like, oh, high schools.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Or older than a high school would be like
the nostalgia.
Yeah. But because a lot of most of the people that, you know, when you talk about someone tells you they read Archie comics, they'll be older people.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, it's your aunt, it's your grandma, it's your mom. Those are the comics that they know.
Yeah, it's been around for so long.
Sure,
yeah.
But they still read them. Yeah. I mean, you'll still find digests in bathrooms or and I mean, the storytelling isn't, you know, it's not very complex. You know,
it's very formulaic.
Short stories.
It's usually Archie getting in trouble.
And a lot of those stories were, you know, reused.
Yeah.
You know, change a couple haircuts or change the shape of the car, but it's the same joke over and over.
It's basically a comic strip.
Right.
Yeah.
But what about the central romantic triangle in the stories? The most famous thing about Archie is that he has two women to choose from.
Yep.
He can't make up his mind.
Yeah.
He dates both.
Yeah.
And they're best friends, too.
Yeah.
And they became friends, yeah.
They're super friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is so much weird. Like real life.
Is it?
Two girls after me, and they're best friends.
Yeah. They're gorgeous, and they have no other except Reggie for a while. But,
but Reggie, you know. Reggie's like the tool you use to make Archie jealous.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Beat up Archie.
So it's weird.
Yeah,
it's
Reggie is a tool.
These two beautiful ladies.
Because you've got other couples. I mean, Moose and Midge.
Yeah,
Moose and Midge. You know, there are some steady couples in there, but Archie is always torn between two, and he can't.
Yeah. Well, sometimes three. Sometimes Cheryl comes in. You know that
sometimes
kind of
he'll
makes
get a
it,
third.
Oh,
that was much later, though.
Yeah,
she came in when
and you know,
80s,
yeah,
90s?
I have a soft spot for Cheryl.
Well, at one point they decided to make it like longer stories, more involved stories. So now they need, you know, another romantic interest.
Yeah. And she was a redhead, so she was perfect for Arch
because he needs that trifecta of hair color.
Yeah.
I also always kind of liked the love triangle in its innocence.
Yes.
It's kind of cute. They're like, oh, I like Archie. I like Archie too. Cool. Yeah. They got angry. 2 pages later, they were happy again.
Yeah.
Archie can decide. I was like, oh, well, what do I do?
Right. Because he wasn't really cheating on any of them.
He was never going steady with either of them. And what I find very interesting with the Archie comics is it's never a focus on Archie finding either one of them more attractive physically. Let's be real honest. The way they're drawn, Betty and Veronica, is a different haircut and a different hair color. They are, like, if we were to remove the hair and they would just draw in bald, they would be the exact same.
The classic Dan DiCarlo look.
Yeah.
The girls have a similar, very similar face.
Right.
Right.
And it's always about their personality. It's always, you know, Betty is very, you know, she's sporty. She's very environmentally sound.
I was going to ask you guys which, like, if you were Archie and had to choose or, you know, manned up and chose, which one you'd choose. And none of us, I don't think, would say, well, I prefer blondes or I prefer brunettes.
That. It's not that at all.
We don't understand these characters based on that.
Right. And it's always presented in the comic as their personalities, how they are. And I think that's actually very, you know, great about these comics, even though it's the same story repeated over and over and over, variations of since 1940-something, whatever. I think it's interesting that Archie never evaluates he never goes, yeah, she's hotter, she's got better tits. It's never about that. It's about...
No. Oh, that's what I said. It's so hard to be angry at Archie cheating on them. I think these comics are so innocent. They're childlike.
Yeah.
He's just... He likes girls.
Yeah. And I'm going to go and say, I'm Team Betty. Nothing against Veronica, but I'm Team Betty.
Sure.
Like,
the
if I had to choose...
Sporty, homie.
It's
She's the one that'll make you a sandwich?
No, it's not.
She is.
Yeah,
I dare Veronica to make a sandwich.
Yeah,
she
but
would
Veronica
never.
has a servant to make a sandwich.
Exactly.
She has the butler.
It's more of, yes, she would make a sandwich if I were to ask her. It's not that she would do it.
You wouldn't have to ask her.
Exactly.
In the comics, Betty is very attentive.
Guys,
right, she's attentive. She's caring. She's compassionate.
I want to stop this here. We're falling into judging girls if they want to make you a sandwich now. Well,
yeah.
That's a very common trope on the internet. Let's not fall into
making sandwiches. I think it's
you
an
example. That's the internet. That's the comic book. That's what happened in the comic book all the time.
I think it's more of an example of a very simple gesture of a nurturing nature. It's like, oh, you look hungry. Here, let me make you something.
It makes
a sandwich
me
is
think
very
that
easy.
Betty. It makes me think that Betty is kinder.
Yes.
You know what? I'm just going to say this.
Okay.
Archie is not the type of guy who would say, go in the kitchen,
make
a sandwich.
Oh, absolutely not.
He would never say that. And I think Betty or Veronica would both probably send that guy. They'd probably beat him up if somebody did that.
They definitely would.
Yeah, make me a sandwich part just hits me in a soft spot because I've played a lot of video games.
Yeah.
And every girl gamer I know in their lifetime has heard that phrase online.
Oh, it's awesome.
Go get me a sandwich or something like that. It's like, so when you guys talk about, well, she's nice, she can make me a sandwich, it sounds super sexist.
Yeah,
to me.
Well, like, I understand where you're coming from. But
like I said, Archie's just so innocent in everything.
And he's not an asshole.
His best friend eats like 1,500 burgers a day.
And he never says anything.
No.
He's not like, hey, Jug, take care of your health, man. You're not biking around.
Well, that's the thing. Archie doesn't have a personality.
See, if Archie was really friends with Jughead, he would say, man, you don't have to be fat to have cholesterol.
So is that what
Archie... Well, in other words, Archie's a cipher. Archie is you.
Archie, he's just someone to project
on. He's John
Q
Everyman.
Betty and Veronica are actually the characters with personalities, with distinct personalities, simple personalities. I mean,
Betty's like the nice girl.
Yeah, she's the girl next door.
Yeah. Veronica's like kind of rude, but
she's the fiercely independent woman.
Yeah.
Well, glamorous, privileged.
Yeah.
So it all depends,
Right.
I think we associate more bad traits to Veronica.
Well, I don't want to say she's written more that way.
She is.
Yeah.
Just like you could argue that Betty is more submissive and, although she doesn't take a more passive role because she's very active.
Betty always gets more jealous than Veronica, I find.
As
Betty
well.
Gets jealous. But Veronica's
written.
Like, forget Archie.
Yeah.
But Betty's like, oh my God, I want to kill someone.
Right. It's written that
really
Betty
angry.
Gets jealous easier, so that it's more of a, well, she's more sensitive, she's more emotional, whereas Veronica is a bit more cold and calculating.
I like the word passionate.
Passionate is good. I like that. Let's use passionate.
So you're Team Betty.
I'm Team Betty.
I don't know. I like them both. I like him both.
You're Team Archie.
He wishes he was Archie.
I'm Team Midge. I'm Team Midge.
Oh, Midge.
Yeah.
That's a nice
sly little lady.
Well,
is that because
you can cosplay
Moose?
I think I can cosplay Moose.
I think you can take Moose on. So
I relate to Moose. I get it.
What about you, Marty? Are you teamed?
I'm Team Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Marty, which ship would you like to see sail?
I want to date a witch.
Sabrina.
The silver hair?
No, seriously. Mm. When she came into, Green...
Greendale.
Not Greendale. Riverdale. That was fun. I was like, oh, she should be with Archie.
She had her own romantic interest.
What was his name? Not Harvey. That was in a TV show. He had a different name in the comics.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah, whatever. I don't know.
I'm not even sure which team I'd be on.
No. I don't think I'd be with Betty, but at the same time, I wouldn't be with Veronica either.
I think I'd be friends with both.
Oh,
yeah,
definitely.
Like buddies.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think you sort of go out with a Betty. You're more of a... Yeah. Your girlfriend's more of a Betty.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, do we know very many Veronicas? It's
no,
probably the
we don't know that many rich people.
I don't know.
Actually, we do, but we just wouldn't date them.
What?
We know people who's... Yeah, my dad's coming to pick me up. Can you drive into the airport? Why? Because he's picking me up in his personal plane. We know people like that.
Do we?
Yeah, Dan.
I know. I know.
No, and her 3'2", she fits in my pocket.
Her. I do not know
twice
because
what
she's
else?
Adorable. So we know people of that side, but of course, Anne does not fit the Veronica type at all.
No, she's a Betty.
No, yeah, definitely.
So we know Bettys.
We know Bettys.
But I do like a
I do like a classy woman.
My ex was more of a Veronica.
No, okay.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Hey, things happen, man. Things happen.
All right.
She left for Mr. Weatherby. What can I say?
Well.
Hey, it's true.
Mr. Weatherby. That was funny. We're gonna take a small break. Time for some romance theater.
Ooh.
Huh?
Ooh.
And then we'll come back and we'll talk about Archie as an adult. Archie, okay. Betty, and Veronica as adults, where they can actually, their characters can actually evolve and have relationships that make sense.
Is Jughead still a man-child, though?
He's an entrepreneur.
Yeah, entrepreneur now. Owns a store.
Okay. Yeah, and in the issue we're not going to cover, which was before,
okay.
He got married.
Oh.
I just kept that from you guys.
Okay.
So we'll be right back.
Here we are, Mr. and Mrs. Sam Brennan, beginning our honeymoon in Hawaii. Perhaps you read about our wedding in today's paper? Society editors called me Boston's heiress and debutante, and referred to Sam as the fantastically successful young investment counselor. It's divinely perfect, every bit of it. I just know we'll be happy all the rest of our lives.
You Also Snore Darling, from Charlton Comics, Just Married, number 57, March 1968. Artist Logar, a.k.a. Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, praise be his name, with Amélie Montour in the role of Linda, Nathaniel Wayne in the role of Sam, and myself in the role of kissing sounds.
You're perfectly divine, darling.
I'm unworthy of you. My love, you're perfect.
It's still incredible to me, my darling, to find a beauty without flaw. A girl so considerate, gentle. In short, darling, you're perfect.
Please, Sam, don't say that. You may be disappointed. You're brave and clever and determined. In older days, darling, you'd be a noble knight riding a white horse. I still can't believe you've chosen me. This is a beautiful dream. A paradise on earth in which my husband and I will always dwell apart.
I love you, Linda. I always shall.
Kiss me, Sam. Don't ever stop.
They kiss.
Darling, darling, you're so strong and powerful as one of the gods.
You are a goddess of love.
He's so impetuous. I've got to make him understand.
What, darling? Did you say something?
No. But I want to. I've got to change, my darling. I spent a fortune on my trousseau, my love. It's going to be appreciated.
I'm sure it's going to be fascinating. Just hurry, darling.
It's all got to be flawless. I want to be absolutely certain that I'm as beautiful as I can be. My lipstick is flaky and my makeup is caking on. I'd better use cleaning cream and put on fresh. After all, this night only comes once to every girl. I've slaved to make myself lovely for him, but now I'm ready. I open the door. I glide out to meet my love. I discover he's asleep. Sam, here I... Oh, Sam. My poor, tired darling. Poor dear. He doesn't know, and I'll never tell him. Sam snores. Sam's asleep, and there are certain rituals I must perform if I'm to continue being Sam's flawless bride. I'm glad he won't see me. My hair would be a mess tomorrow if I didn't do this, and the specific sunshine would dry out my skin. Mustn't make any noise. I don't want to wake up Sam. Then.
Let's drink a toast, darling.
Samuel Brennan, I hate you. We toast each other, we laugh gaily, but inside I'm seething with rage at the unkind fates.
You know, darling, only you could wear all that and still look beautiful.
Beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder, dear heart, and you must truly love me. Champagne has magic properties, my love. Drink deeply, then close your eyes and count to 10. Please, do as I ask, darling.
Very well. 3, 4.
I've got to hurry.
8.
Oh, Sam, that was only 7.
9.
And just as Sam says 10, I snatch up my glass and smile enticingly.
Amazing.
You're awake. You were having a bad dream in which you saw your wife as a horrible witch. Whew.
They kiss.
It's morning, and the Hawaiian morning air is like fine wine, heady and enchanting to the senses. It's morning already. Wake up, sleepyhead.
What'd you say?
I said it's morning. Wake up. Time to stir. I'm starved. You brute, darling.
Flattery will get you nowhere, my love.
He's so powerful. Then, sheer agony. My face is on fire. His beard. But after a shower and a shave, that little defect is corrected.
Sorry about not shaving, sweetie.
Oh, Sam, don't be. I can't expect you to get up in the middle of the night to shave. One thing, my husband, I'll never give you cause to be jealous. Let's promise never to look at anyone else. You promise?
Uh-huh.
Sam, you're not paying attention to me. Sam, darling, I hate you.
Yeah, sure.
Sam, you wretch, you actually ogled that horrid woman.
I did not. I just glanced up as she went by, that's all.
You don't love me. You've been lying all along.
Oh, for the love of Pete, turn it off, will you?
I'm going back to our room. You can stay and leer all you want, you loathsome lecher.
Run along, Mrs. Brennan. I'll be along later. Maybe.
Oh, I despise you, Samuel. You're despicable. He's an ogler, and he's got a horrible beard, and he falls asleep at all the wrong times, and he snores. I have myself a good cry, and I'm wondering, how can I make friends with Sam again when the door opens?
Darling.
I've thought of a dozen things to say, but somewhere deep down, a woman's wisdom tells me not to say those things. Instead, I... my beloved...
Listen, Linda. I know I ogle, doze, scrape, and snore, but...
But what, Sam?
I want to tell you one thing, darling.
What, Sam?
You snore too, beloved.
Well, of all the...
You'll never know if I'm lying or not, sweetie. Now, come on. Let's stop picking faults and...
Vicious.
I know I don't snore. What I mean is, girls just don't. Do they? And if Sam has a few faults, I'll forgive him for them. Especially after a kiss like this.
And we're back. So we're talking about, now we're talking about Life with Archie, numbers 36 and 37, which was the end game of that series. Mm-hmm. Now, to tell you a little bit about it, it was written by Paul Kupperberg, with art by Pat and Tim Kennedy, with inks by Jim Amash. Paul K. was basically a workhorse writer at DC during the 80s. I read a lot of comics from him. He worked on everything from Justice League of America to his own creation, Aryan Lord of Atlantis. I had the privilege of interviewing him with the Irredeemable Shag for the Hero Poets podcast last year.
Nice.
Because he wrote the Atlas of the DC Universe for the DC Heroes game. Mm. And these days he's working on projects related to old Charlton Comics properties.
So we played that game, didn't we? DC Heroes?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So he wrote Life with Archie, or a good bulk of it, and okay. The whole idea of it was that at the very beginning, it was going to be Archie later in life, like 10 years on or so. And what they wanted to do was, in the first issue, he walks down memory lane, literally, and imagines what it'd be like if he married either Betty or Veronica. Okay. And then the whole series is basically a split book between those two realities. So every issue, you'd find out more about his relationship or his life with Veronica, where he goes to work in the big city, and Mr. Lodge has an important role in there. And then in the other thread, he stays in Riverdale. He's married to Betty. He kind of almost cheats on her. So there's there are two threads to that.
And this was probably to erase the horrible made-for-TV movie about Archie returning to Riverview for his high school reunion. Riverdale. Yeah, sorry.
Because I don't think you need to erase that movie.
Well, I watched it.
It blinked out of existence.
I already forgot about that till you mentioned it.
There was a movie? Like,
there was.
And then there was this third story about where they used Kevin Keller, who's the gay character they introduced in the past few years in the Archie canon. And Kevin also got married to his boyfriend and became a senator.
Is he senator?
Yeah, he's a senator. Yeah.
Okay.
By the end, he's a senator.
Yeah. Okay.
He runs for election and, you know, in the epilogue, he is a senator. So. So that thread is common to the other two stories. So although we're looking at two parallel realities, the Kevin Keller stuff is happening in both.
Canon. Okay.
Is in both. And in the very last, or in the one before last, number 36, the so-called Death of Archie, which, you know, made the news, and then people were going, so Archie's dead?
Yeah.
Not really. He's dead in Life of Archie. He's dead in Life of Archie, but of course, Archie Comics, where he's a teenager, keep being made.
That's like when they say, Spider-Man's dead. It's like, Spider-Man's dead! It's like, no, in Ultimate Spider-Man.
Ultimate Spider-Man's dead, you know.
But that's a different universe, so yeah.
But the Muggles don't know this.
Yeah.
The normies.
I like how Mike's using Harry Potter term now. What happened?
I watched four of them.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Yeah, I'm trying to see them so that I understand words like muggles.
It's 15 a good word. Points it's a for House Siskoid.
It's a very good word. I love that word.
I wonder what House Siskoid's crest would be.
But it's a monkey at a typewriter.
Yeah, a monkey at a typewriter.
Okay, so in the issue where Archie dies,
yes.
Which you've all read prior to this podcast, that's where somehow all the realities merge, because we're really following the Kevin Keller story, and then they're having a sort of pre-election party or in Riverdale, which is his writing, I guess.
And essentially an election rally.
At the mall shop, and Archie's going to get shot there. I mean, that's what they announced on the news, and he gets shot.
We're not spoiling anything.
This is a year old.
A year old, and it made the news with Archie is dead.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. You know what, though? I only read it before the podcast, and it stung.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I choked up.
Yeah.
I choked up.
Don't worry.
Whenever they pull that maudlin crap about showing a picture where all the Riverdale kids are there, they're all happy and smiling, I got a little... a little verklempt? No.
I think... Here's the conceit, and I thought that was the brilliant thing about the issue, is that now all the timelines are collapsing into one, because it's all going to end with the Kevin Keller thing, and the Kevin Keller's part of both stories.
Right.
Is that they keep hiding Archie's wife's face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
so
Veronica... It's always cropped out, like, her neck down.
Right.
Yeah, and I want to mention, Archie must have powerful sperm, because all of his kids have red hair.
Yeah, that's right.
He's
doesn't actually have kids in either timeline, but he during the issue, we know he's going to die at the end, but during the issue, he imagines other futures, possible futures, where he's got lots of kids, where the redhead gene is
really strong. Like,
The redhead hashtag.
For me, that's just he married Cheryl. Like, for that to happen, he got with Cheryl, and that was it.
Sure. We can't see what those kids would be like if he were with either woman, because they don't want to tell us which woman he ends up with. So, in other words, one of the timelines is imaginary, the other timeline is the truth.
Yeah.
We just don't know which is which, and they won't tell us. So even at the end, when he actually dies...
Yeah. That's the focal point. That's where everything that was imagined becomes
But Betty
real.
And Veronica are together.
Yes.
They're always in the same frame. So if you speak, oh, there's my wife, you don't know which one he means.
Yeah.
And the way they speak to each other is also ambiguous. Remember when we were both after him? Which doesn't tell us who he ended up. Oh, I'm glad everything, fell into place like it did.
Yeah.
But we don't know which.
His last words were, I love you. And he's kind
of... I've always loved you.
And he's gesticulating to both of the girls, who are, of course, side by side. So who is he pointing to?
Right.
Both of them.
And they're both distraught.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, they're both going to react to his death the same or a similar way. But still in character, because one of them is calling for 911. The other one is cradling him, which doesn't mean anything.
No.
We still don't know who he actually married. It doesn't matter, because he married both. It's Schrodinger. Relationship, the whole thing.
Archie's actually a cat.
He is. He's a cool cat.
Yeah. So, and for me, that's what got me. That's where I got a little weepy. Yeah. I really can't believe it because I don't give a crap about these characters real. It's like Marty was saying at the top of the show. You didn't like the comics. No. I didn't like the comics.
But they were part of my
They're part of our culture.
Yeah.
To this point, they are iconic characters that you kind of feel something for them, even if you don't sit there and read all the digests and are a diehard Archie fan, which I'm sure there are some out there.
Sure.
And they probably cried into their Archie pillows and commemorative towels and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It still came and got me, because these are characters that I have always known. Ever since I've been able to read and got into comics, my grandma always had some Archie comics. She always had some Mickey Mouse comics, because whenever her grandkids would visit, she'd have something for them to read. Because, she doesn't want us reading her adult novels like Ken Follett or whatever. So... here's some comics, kids. There you go. And even though I don't particularly enjoy and seek out all these Archie's comics, he's always been a staple of our culture. Everyone knows Archie. He's commonplace, you know, American staple apple pie, et cetera, et cetera. So to see this happen and see how it's being treated, you never know which timeline is real. Is he with Betty? Is he with Veronica? And it gets to that focal point where he's dead. Wow.
Yeah. I'm not sure his death is what got me, because I knew it would happen.
Right.
I think it's the way they basically made it so he was always in love with whoever.
Look, because
whoever you decide.
Yeah, because they start off the story of him as like a tiny kid, and Betty and Veronica are like already friends. And it goes to like, I don't know, they look like they're 4 or 5.
Old enough to,
Archie.
Little Archie was adorable. But that little moment where, what is it, the first time I touched her or something?
Yeah.
I knew I was in love. I was like, oh. That's
cool.
And you can't tell which one it is because it's just an arm.
The frame changes and they're both there.
So they make it like he's always been split between two women.
Right.
But in reality, the one he loved... he's always loved.
Right.
It's just, you know, whatever happened,
maybe the other girl was after him. It doesn't preclude the fact that he could also love the other one, but as a dear friend. You know, so he more than likely loved both, but one was more of a romantic thing than the other one.
The other one he was hanging out with.
Exactly. But it always feels like they were best friends regardless. So I think that's very interesting.
Everything's Archie.
Number 37 is like an epilogue. A year later, everybody gets back together.
The gang gets back together.
And they remember Archie.
Yeah.
But one of the things that they seem to remember wrong, if you will, but I mean, it's normal. I mean, Kevin Keller's, now he's a senator. He gives a speech. You know, Archie saved his life. He took the bullet for him.
Yeah.
But in reality, if you read number 36, he doesn't take the bullet for Kevin. His wife is there, and the other woman. Betty and Veronica are there. And it's like there's the way the panels are set up. It's like guy wants to assassinate the
gay senator,
the gay future senator.
Yeah.
And Archie sees that Betty and Veronica are there.
Yeah.
In the line of fire, somewhat.
Yeah.
And I think that's what propels him. I mean, maybe he'd save Kevin.
They actually mention it.
I saw it as he's saving his friends and wife.
He's taking the bullet for everyone.
Yeah, because they mention it. You know,
it's a nice guy.
He's going well.
It's a very Archie way of dying.
Yeah.
Shut. No, he's a nice guy. So
he's a nice guy.
He would take a bullet for any one of his friends.
I believe the Senator Kevin actually mentioned, you know, he was only doing not something for me, but something that he would do for anyone at Riverdale. Yeah, I can agree with that.
It's, again, a little bit of a Schrodinger thing, because was he trying to save Kevin? Was he trying to save... It doesn't matter who he saves. He saves everyone there.
The answer is yes to everyone.
Yeah. He married both.
The only guy
the same way he saved all.
He would probably not take a bullet for Mr. Lodge, but I'm just saying.
You know, he'd probably take a bullet, like, in the leg or the arm.
Yeah, he's not going to die for Mr. Lodge.
You can take a bullet without dying. I mean,
well, yeah.
Technically.
No, yeah. You can take several without dying if you get to the hospital quick enough. You know, I don't want to test this theory.
But yeah, no, Archie died in a very Archie way, and I think that's what got to me. Because I thought exactly the same thing you did, Mike. I thought, you know, there's Kevin in the middle, his wife and dear friend in the background. Yeah. They could have got shot, and he just, I don't think he wanted to get shot. I think he just wanted to grab a gun, but he got shot.
So. Only a gun can stop another gun.
He was going to tackle the guy.
Yeah.
He was going to stop a gunman, and that's a very Archie way of, you know, living, I guess, or dying.
But Marty, you weren't touched at all.
No.
You heartless monster.
You cold-hearted robot.
No, maybe it was just the mood, because I just read it before coming. I was maybe rushed. I went through it fast. What touched me more was the reunion after.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, not the death. I was like, oh, that's sad. But the reunion, 1 year later, all the friends get together and, like, just talk about that. That touched me. I was like, oh, that's sweet.
I did think it was a bit overwrought in a way where...
It's very maudlin. Archie itself is, you know...
I'm fine with Archie as a hero, Archie as a selfless person. Mm-hmm. But just seemed to me like when I read the comics back in the... And it's been a long while. I mean, I haven't looked at Archie gag comics in forever.
Yeah.
So those aren't the things you remember.
Go out and buy some.
No, you know, where he saves a park or where he does something nice for a big Ethel. Those aren't the those aren't the moments you remember.
No.
You know, you
you remember him, you know, gagging and getting pranked on by Betty and Veronica.
Or by Reggie or
Speaking of Reggie, this is the one part of the them remembering stuff. I want to give props to the writers or artists or whoever, you know, decided to write this specific part.
It's probably Kupperberg again.
Right. Yep. Because they have Reggie, which he looks to be around like middle school, maybe early high school, with a bottle of Boot Jalokia hot sauce, which is the second hottest pepper known to man right before the Carolina Reaper. Now, I eat spicy. You guys know this.
Yes,
I do. I would not put a Boot Jalokia in my mouth or the amount of sauce he put on that one burger because that is something a crazy person would do. So
he could have killed Jughead.
He could have. Reggie is history's greatest monster at this point for the amount of
that. That's the stuff you remember from the old Archie comics. Yeah. Those are the kinds of pranks you remember where he was a total douchebag.
Look, short of being Cartman who kills a dude's parents, grinds up their meat and makes it chili, then feeds it to the kid, Reggie is the next
That is not how
down.
I remember Titus Andronicus.
No, but
Reggie's not that bad.
I mean, they're supposed
he's not that
bad. He's like, no, he's not that bad.
But to be fair,
the worst thing
that
would happen, Jughead, his face would get red and steam would come out of his ears.
Which is he would lose his crown. Yeah, maybe.
His crown would fly off.
There'd be like a steam train whistle sound.
But Reggie.
And
Reggie
I do like that they made up afterwards. They were like, it's kind of a dick move to put Archie in the middle of this, which was the whole point. And, you know, personally, if my friend says you got to choose between me or this person, well, you know, you just asked me to choose. Goodbye, take your things and leave. I don't want to deal with that. So Archie, being the good guy, is torn between his two friends. And I think that's nice, even though Reggie is he's a fucking monster. goddamn monster.
You know,
two Hitlers taped together.
You do not understand Reggie at all. He just wants love.
Reggie
just wants love.
He's a big lovable lump.
Yeah, I mean, he
I wouldn't go that far.
He was notorious for, you know, trying to get Midge also. You know, he got beat up a couple times by Moose.
Yeah, and rightfully so.
Well, yeah. Well,
but Reggie was kind of the guy that he thought he was slicker than he really was.
Yeah.
He was rich like Veronica.
Yeah.
He came from one of those families in Riverdale. Yeah. And, you know, he thought he could buy some love.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
Yeah, he was a douche.
He didn't really interact very well with
but over, people. Over the years, there was character development. You know, he gets better.
They become friends with Archie. Yeah. They're friends after.
Yeah, they're very often friends. Let's not forget when they were, you know, the Archies, the band.
Yeah.
They were all in the band.
Yeah, he was playing bass.
Why would Reggie be in the band?
Yeah,
instead
they're friends. But, I mean, Reggie's not that bad. He's not Hitler.
Nobody's evil in Riverdale.
No, maybe Dilton. Dilton's evil, but
mad scientist.
Yeah, Dilton. Yeah.
Future Frankenstein.
That Star Wars crawl of text in the beginning of issue 36.
Yep. That tells the whole life of Archie's story.
The whole story about a super collider underneath the school.
Yeah.
It just gets so...
Dilton, man.
I say Star Wars crawl, and it starts off exactly like... The Star Wars crawl in the first one, it's like, you know, it's a Republic time turmoil, okay. And then it just gets more and more convoluted, and you have no clue what's going on. Like, at first, okay, galaxy far, far away, a long time ago, okay. And then...
Well, that's not in the scroll.
No. But it just gets even, like, where am I? What's going on? I don't even care anymore. Okay, now the movie. At this point, I'm like, I want to go and read issues 1 through 35 to find out this whole weird mad science stuff going on.
Yeah, I want to see how he blew up he created the
Because
there's
this one guy who wants to use this to become the ultimate evil, which just sounds like the plot of a Final Fantasy game.
It is.
You know, does Archie need to kill God at the end? Who knows?
That's why I think, I mean, that's why Reggie's okay. Just put hot sauce. He didn't create a machine
to
become the
ultimate evil. It's high school hijinks.
It's just hijinks. On that point, you know.
It's high school.
He didn't try to destroy the multiverse.
But the one romance, there's one romance element in the epilogue.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's who Archie will take to the dance. That's the memory they have is that one dance, that one prom where he had to ask Veronica or Betty. Yeah. He didn't know which one to ask. And he winds up, let's spoil it, he winds up bringing Ethel.
Right.
Because Jughead, he's off the hook. He can't go to the dance, but he hasn't told her he can't can't go to the dance. She just thinks she's being ignored.
Right.
So it's like an act of kindness to bring the lonely girl.
Yeah.
And the other two girls are fine with it.
Yeah. That's nice.
You know? I mean, they pointed out, like, he asked the girl who needed to be asked the most. Like, they're aware enough and secure enough in their own relationship between the girls to know that Archie did the right thing. Like, he didn't do it to spite either of them. He did it to be a good friend to Ethel. And Ethel, like, knew, well, he's not asking me out of pity or whatever. It's more of genuine friendship. And I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, the only evil in there is Jughead.
Oh. Well,
he's Jughead. Been a dick yeah, because, to that lady since day one. Yeah, because, she's been running after him. She's been giving him burgers, and he just takes them and shoves her
I really want to read issue 35, because those two get married. So obviously, they have a relationship.
Spoilers.
They have a relationship as adults.
Had a relationship with Midge also.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. That's what they said.
I never saw that coming. I don't know where that... yeah. Midge, really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. So there's just so many people in Riverdale.
Yeah.
And, you know... Like, I find it very interesting.
High school had six kids.
But I do find it interesting that they address the whole Betty-Veronica relationship between the girls, of where they go, yeah, you know, we've loved the same guy, and, you know, it sucks that he's gone, whatever, and that they've been at each other's throats, but they still remain friends the entire time.
Yeah.
They clearly establish that they've been friends forever. So I find it interesting, and I don't remember who said it, but I have seen this quote. It's, don't try to understand women. Only women understand women, and they hate each other. And it's probably some stand-up comedian. I'm not saying that it's completely true, but I find it very fascinating. I do find it very fascinating because these characters have constantly been at each other's throats for Archie's attention, but they're still friends.
They say in the story they don't know when, like, they were rivals, but then they're not sure when they sort of decided that doesn't matter. We can be rivals and friends.
I think they say they were friends.
Well, I think it's also a question of at some point in the comic's history.
Yeah.
There was a Betty and Veronica comic
where
they headlined it. Every character has had his own series in Archie.
Jughead's dog had a comic.
You're right, Reggie. I don't think Reggie
ever had one.
Well, Reggie or Moose didn't
have one. No, but,
Reggie was a starter. I mean, he was always in everything.
Yeah, but Betty and Veronica comics, those were the, like, most popular, too.
Right. Yeah.
I've read those just as much as the Archie comics.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And they might be friends in there. There might be stories without Archie at all in them.
There actually are. I've read a few. It's usually about Veronica wanting to go shopping and Betty wanting to do, like, community work. And then, personalities clash. No, but I can't go shopping because, you know, I need to go feed the homeless. Or I can't go feed the homeless because there's a, you know, shoe sale or whatever.
And then they go shop with the homeless.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. You know, there's always a nice middle ground that they can find.
Well, I think Betty and Veronica are friends. They're tighter than they were with Archie. They were friends before they were friends with Archie. And I think that Archie, well, all that, the little Archie thing.
Yeah.
There was that wasn't love. That was friendship, right?
Yeah.
So they became all friends. And I think it's Voltaire that said, I'm not sure. But he's some author, some French.
I believe it was Descartes who said
that. No, some French author. I can't remember which one. I'm thinking about it right now and it's driving me nuts. But somebody said, love is friendship on fire. And this is an actual quote.
If you light
quote.
Me on fire,
no,
this
means is an actual quote.
You so, really hate me or love me. I don't know.
Proper attribution, not so French. This was actually a paraphrase from Cromwell era England cleric and poet Jeremy Taylor, as made popular again in the 20th century by advice columnist pseudonym Ann Landers and Bruce Lee.
So maybe they were friends. They were all three of them.
Yeah.
All of them. They were all friends. And they started kind of dating everybody because they were young and in love and full of hormones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that exists. Eventually, one friendship just caught fire.
Yeah.
We don't know which. Whichever one you want.
And I think it's really clever the way they've done it.
But it doesn't satisfy the need to know. I need to know this.
Do you need to know?
I do.
I think everyone knows inside.
Yeah.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
It's Betty.
It's Betty.
Cheryl.
Well, we're all sure it's Betty because we're Betty kind of guys.
Actually, I think it's Moose. It's
honestly,
Moose.
Veronica is just rude. Well, she's angry half the time. She's spoiled. I don't see the appeal.
She's entitled.
I've never met a Veronica guy.
There are Veronica guys.
Where?
Well, we're not friends with them. Okay.
They're Reggies. And it's well known that, you know, that bitch factor, that how guys...
I believe it's called being bossy.
That's not what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm talking about the. I don't know if it's a theory, it's a book, or some kind of weird self-help
Someone
thing.
Someone made a doctorate on this theory,
probably. But it's just this thing where some guys like women who are, for lack of a better word, bossy or bitchy. Because the guy's need is not provide, but satisfy her. But
it's essentially taking a more submissive role.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But this guy this type of person, he needs her to be satisfied with something, anything.
Right.
And if she's satisfied, then he's not as interested in her than if she's always needing something. So that fills up his role of a provider.
I can see what you mean, because if she's never truly satisfied, but he's still fulfilling a need, he feels needed.
Exactly. Right. So there are Veronica type guys out there.
Well, I've always liked women who could break me over their knee.
Well, yeah.
That's how I describe it.
Yeah, Brigitte Bardot.
No, no.
Yeah.
Brigitte Bardot. Who doesn't like Brigitte Bardot?
No, no, but
Brigitte Bardot.
Tu veux ou tu veux pas? Tu veux, c'est bien. Si tu veux pas, tant pis.
Yeah. I feel myself attracted to women who have strong personalities.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Powerful, independent women. Who won't take my shit.
Yeah.
I joke around a lot. In life, I'm never serious, and if I say something that'll condescending, whatever my joke would sound like, let's say the joke sounds condescending or it's teasing a little too far, the woman will snap back at me. Yeah. If a woman puts me in my place, I am aroused.
Yeah.
If a waitress puts me in my place in a restaurant,
she gets a tip.
I overtip. Happened last night. So it did. I like the pushback. I want the pushback. I don't like pushovers. So in a sense, Veronica is this character.
Yeah.
She's the one that's, she'll send you home.
Yeah, she doesn't take shit.
Yeah, she does. I don't think Betty takes any shit either.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't. No.
But I think she's nicer, though. More polite.
The way they're written, or at least the way I've seen them being written, I interpret it, is they're both strong, independent women. It's just Veronica will actively push you back. Personally, I like someone who will call me on my bullshit. Just like you, Mike. Just like Bass and Marty, I'm pretty sure. I can't speak for both of you, but you're here. So if you want to, say yay or nay, whatever, I'm not your mom. So I enjoy someone who will call me on my bullshit, who I want to find someone who I can see as my equal.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
that's
and
my
who,
thing.
Who finds me to be their equal as well.
Yeah.
I don't see it as someone's better or lesser. I don't believe in, moving down or, going up or whatever. I believe in going down. But anyways, sidebar. But Veronica is the one who will actively call you on your bullshit, but maybe before you've actually said it. So that's where I think she feels a bit more bossy. She will immediately cut you off at the pass before you've even made the pass. It's like, okay. Whereas Betty might be a little bit more willing to play the game.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Something that really bothered me, we're talking a lot about Betty and Veronica, but...
Yeah. We're not talking about enough about Archie.
That was the subject.
Yeah, no, but what in the living God do they see in Archie? Fuck is up with Archie? Why
that's a good question.
Two great women are like, oh my God, Archie. Archie is nothing.
No, he's a good guy.
He's a blob with red hair.
No
personality. He's a quote unquote nice guy.
He's nice.
What's wrong with a nice guy?
What's wrong with nice guys?
He has a sports coat. What sports does he play? I don't know. He plays sports ball.
He does have a letter jacket.
Right? Yeah.
He has a letter jacket.
What sports does Archie play?
Every sport. He's not playing sports. Archie's an artist. He plays in a band.
You don't get a letter jacket for being in a band.
Well, and why do they give out letter jackets to marching band? It's not a sport. We all know it.
This kid is crazy.
He's got a lot of the teen power because he's got a car.
Yeah.
He's a teen with a car. I guess there are a lot of those now.
He's a hard worker because his parents aren't rich.
Right.
So he probably bought his own car.
He has a job or whatever. He has a car. He mechanics around. He's in a band.
Store
he's in
something.
A band. Has a one number one hit.
Yeah.
But what is his personality?
Why do they like Archie?
I don't know.
Why do they want Archie? Well, I don't get it. That's why it bothers me. Why?
Well, I think it's because
Archie's nothing, guys.
Well, I think we've been so trained socially.
No, he's probably funny. He's funny.
Yeah,
he's not funny.
He's funny.
Well, we don't think the humor is very sophisticated, but the comic is based around.
You know, I like unsophisticated humor.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. I mean, but the humor isn't particularly sophisticated.
I think,
but he does deliver a few punchlines.
I think we live through Archie. So Archie's not too.
Archie's a vessel.
He's an everyman, right? He's everybody. So that's why we're living through him.
Yeah, but we're boring. Betty doesn't want to date me.
No, she doesn't want to date.
That's the fantasy.
What are you talking about? You're going out with Betty right now.
No, she is not Betty. As you see, not do sports.
No.
No.
No, well.
No. Yeah, but she's funny and reads.
She's funny. She's great. We love her.
Funny and reads.
Yeah. Funny and reads.
You know what?
Which are Betty traits.
I'll take both of those. I mean, not. I want.
That's not what I'm saying. No threat. No threat.
Mr. Steal Your Girl.
But yeah, I think it's a good point, though. What does Archie?
I just don't see the relationship. No, it's so one way. They just want Archie because he's.
I think if Archie's a character.
Vessel.
If Archie is a character, then yes, that character is pretty bland.
Yeah.
If Archie is a metaphor for, is a stand-in for the reader, I don't know. What do women see in Archie comics?
Because
a woman would not normally read an Archie comic and then...
No.
See, this is where we need a girl's perspective.
Yes.
This is where we don't see it.
I'd also like to point out the fact that we've been talking about how... society has trained us, and et cetera, that women go for the douchebag, women go for the alpha male asshole, and that is absolutely 100% not what Archie is. And I think it's wonderful that these two amazing ladies actually want him, and he's not Reggie.
He is
the complete antithesis of Reggie. He's not a douchebag.
Reggie should be the bad boy who gets all the girls.
If that were true.
And it fails. I think it's wonderful that we do actually have this comic that addresses this. And has been addressing this since the 1940s.
Maybe that's it. But I...
Also, he's a Time Lord.
Which one?
We do ask our...
He's the nth doctor.
We do ask our female listeners to tell us if Archie is their jam.
Is it the redhead? Is it the sweater vest?
Is it the nice guy? Is it the...
Big teeth? They like big teeth?
Yeah, he does have some big teeth.
He had big teeth.
He's just like a weird Ron Weasley prototype.
Bloody hell, Harry. That was not funny.
Because hopefully Betty isn't attracted to Archie because he's always with Veronica. Or Veronica is, you know, he's unavailable.
Do you want the unattainable?
I want the person that's with the other person.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's not the dynamic. But if you're a lady and you're listening,
a lady,
we need your help.
We need to know what's the attraction that because we think those two women are interesting and exciting.
They're both awesome.
But Archie isn't. So what's the deal? Why do they like him? If you know, please write.
Like, comment,
PO
and
box.
Subscribe.
We still don't have the PO box.
I'll set that up next week.
All right. Thanks, Marty.
Advertisement for another awesome comic book podcast.
It's an old joke. Frank doesn't pronounce it thesaurus. He pronounces it thesaurus.
Thesaurus?
And when I asked him, what the fuck is a thesaurus? He's like, I don't believe in saying it thesaurus. It sounds like a goddamn dinosaur.
Three friends.
Come, my baby.
The world is not right.
The Looney Tunes Lions comes out.
Too many topics.
Please, sign my Galvatron.
It's just so much been there, done that.
Super cookie cutter hip hop with it.
One podcast.
The lead singer of Nickelback doesn't have demons.
He gave away his heart.
Zero fucks given.
How sad is it that Axl Rose didn't kill himself for OD?
Django.
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 Where did the plastic stop and the human flesh start?
Oh, no.
Tony, you're close. We're going to kick you out of the podcast.
The old fine podcast.
Hey, sis. So well done.
So we're opening up the Lonely Hearts mailbag. I'm with Marty this time.
Hey.
You just jump in when you feel like it.
All right.
On Twitter, Martin Gray from Too Dangerous for a Girl says, another dang unmissable episode. He's talking about episode 3. Congratulations. He tried to imitate some kind of accent.
Oh.
On another fine dramatic reading. And then he did a little bit of research and found that Congo Romances number 8... featured a pre-Marvel appearance by a familiar name, Jane Foster.
Oh.
Not the same Jane Foster.
Yeah, the time period's off, I think.
And on Twitter as well, Andréanne, who we name dropped both in that show and this show.
Yeah, like twice or three times.
Yeah, she says, yes, I can climb trees, and yes, I can ride horses. And then she tells people, listen to this, it's solid gold.
She should have her own comic.
On Facebook comments, Mike Arsenault said, ah, yes, Monday sorted. So that means day. On the blog, Martin Gray came back to say, thanks so much for pointing out that finally men are talking about Superman, Wonder Woman romance is a bit of a head scratcher. He says he's discussed it many times on his blog and had plenty of friendly exchanges with Zoraida and Veronica Cristina on the subject on Twitter and elsewhere. It's also been a talking point at Ange's Supergirl comic box commentary and on other places. He says, anyway, nice job on bringing some of the women super bloggers, and great episode all around. I love the Calamity Jane story. It must be unusual to have a romance story in which the heroine doesn't get so much as a smooch.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never realized that, actually. I didn't think about that in the first place.
She never closed the deal.
Huh.
On the blog as well, Ange said, interesting story. I really like this Toni. She seems like someone I would pine from a distance, thinking someone as vibrant as her could never fall for a geek like me. Huh. That shows a lot of my own self-loathing. Anyways, I enjoyed the romance genre discussion as well. Some thoughts on horror romance. We were struggling to find...
Yeah, I couldn't think of anything at the time.
That were romances first. He mentions The Audition.
Oh, yeah. You watched it recently.
Takashi Miike's Audition, yeah. He says, this is a movie from Japan, which is a completely terrifying movie. The movie starts as almost an art house love story. An older man who is a widow decides to start dating again. He's a movie producer and meets a young actress during the audition. Their courtship is sweet and awkward. The first hour is almost ponderous. Then a scene happens, which changes the feel of the movie entirely, and you descend into horror from then on. But Miike follows up that scene with more of the romance-y stuff. Except now we, the audience, know it isn't all sweet and rosy. It makes the suspense almost sickening as you wait for the horror to unfold. Brutal, graphic, shocking, and...
Yeah, no, you watched it recently, didn't you?
Yes.
Like, a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's fresher in your mind. I haven't seen it in a while. They mention it. Yeah, it is a love story. It's just a love story.
And even the horror elements, for me, were on a metaphorical level.
Yeah.
We were seeing things that were maybe in someone's mind.
Yeah.
It was like the horror of being in a relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
Or starting a relationship. That anxiety was portrayed on screen as torture porn.
Yeah, it was a way of just showing the horror instead of telling the horror.
Right. It's something that was interior. But if you want to take it as literal, where... where the guy gets actually tortured.
Yeah, well, sure.
You can.
Either way, yeah.
He also recommends Deadly Friend by Wes Craven.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
You haven't?
No.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I know.
He says, much, much goofier than Audition. Well,
yeah.
High school nerd resurrects the girl he loves as a sort of android cyborg. The programming goes wonky and she goes on a killing spree, including a terrific scene where she explodes Anne Ramsey's head by throwing a basketball at it. Still, nerdy love gets a showcase here.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it reminds me of a film I watched recently called Dead Girl. But it's kind of the same concept. High school kids find a dead girl, and it's much darker than Wes Craven's story, I'm sure.
And in sci-fi romance, he recommends Solaris, either the Tarkovsky one or the Soderbergh one. He describes it as a space explorer is on a station over the planet called Solaris. The planet is either sentient or empathic or something else. The explorer is confronted with a simulacrum of his dead wife and then has to sift through his memories of their relationship. The ups and downs, the courting, the marriage, their romance, and the way their relationship ended, that relationship is remembered in the context of a stark, cold space station.
Yeah.
But both movies have different ways to show how alone the explorer is, playing it off the weight of that romance. And he highly recommends all these movies. I've seen the Soderbergh Solaris.
Yeah, I think that's the only one I've seen.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was the other one.
Oh yeah, the original Russian one.
Oh.
The Tarkovsky one, which is like, I think it's like 100 hours long.
Oh my god.
It's like 3 hours. It feels super long, apparently. It's very, very Spartan.
No, I really like Solaris.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I want to see the original. Yeah. I just haven't.
It was a weird movie because I really liked it, but then the critics were like, yeah, it's okay. I was like, really? I thought it was good.
Yeah. I think the critics had seen the first one.
Maybe.
So it gets compared.
Yeah. I didn't know that was the first one. Is it a book or something?
Yes, it's also a book. Oh. Or it's based on a book. It's a Russian book. Shotgun Gunny. Never heard of her. Shotgun Gunny said, I would like to say that I can ride a horse, guys. Come on. So she's also a friend of ours who claims to ride horses. Also, yes, Andrienne rides horses. And yes, she climbs trees on a regular basis. Bass. Yeah, Bass. Where are you today? That's where she reads 3 books a day. There's a lot of stuff Andrienne does that I'm not sure actually happens.
I've never seen her ride a horse.
Or climb a book in a day. Arena,
or climb a tree. I've never seen Shotgun
on a horse as well.
On a horse either.
No.
Nor climb a tree.
No.
So until I see those things.
I've climbed a tree.
Yeah, I've seen you climb a tree.
So that happened. For the romance horror discussion, it's not a movie. I actually just found out that one is on its way for 2016, and holy cow, what a cast. Nor a comic, but I think we have to consider Pride and Prejudice and Zombies as being more of a romance novel with horror parts than the opposite. Quite the enjoyable one, as a matter of fact. Have you read those zombie books?
I've read Pride and Prejudice and Zombie. That's the only one. It was fun.
Is it?
No. Oh, it's fun. It's just a story, but with zombies. They're just like on the side, go slay zombies sometimes.
I haven't read Pride and Prejudice at all.
No?
With or without
Well,
zombies.
You can read the zombie one if you're not interested in the regular Pride and Prejudice.
Congrats for the I have a snake in my boot moment, Marty. To improvise that. Those are in the comic.
Yeah.
The whole pain panel sequence is solid gold. Really enjoyed everything about the podcast. Good job, guys, as always. She's a bit biased. She's my roommate.
Yeah.
She lives in our house.
We still appreciate it.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Sure. Yeah, he's up ahead.
Well, a lot of our friends don't listen to it at all.
Oh, well, they're not our real friends anyways.
Yes.
They won't hear this anyways. We don't like you don't listen to it. We don't like you.
You won't hear this.
Yeah.
Nathaniel Wayne, who played a part in our romance comics theater this week,
yeah.
Says, hey, guys, great work so far. Ugh, the Superman. doesn't sound very positive. Ugh, the Superman-Wonder Woman thing. It's just not good for either of them. In the case of Superman, it severs that tie to humanity that the relationship with Lois grants him, which you guys kind of touched on in a way. However, since I'm a bigger Wonder Woman fan than a Superman fan, I hate this pairing because he is literally the only man in the DC universe who would be the strength in the couple over her. And that's just wrong. It goes against the fundamental core of the character. And if this is writers indulging in juvenile pandering, why not at least have the guts to pair her off with Power Girl? Anyways, in regards to your question of genre films that are romance first, the film that immediately leapt to mind was Darren Aronofsky's The Fountain, which I also saw very recently. It's one of my favorite romance stories, and it is also a bit of a mind-blowing sci-fi movie on top of that. This comic was fun and cheesy. He's talking about the Calamity Jane. And as noted, with a surprisingly strong and even progressive heroine. Normally, the flightiness would bother me, but for a 16-year-old, it's actually much more appropriate than the teen love is eternal angle of something like Disney's The Little Mermaid. Keep up the great work on this funky little podcast.
Funky?
Oh, it's funky in the studio.
Yeah.
So if we can take each of these elements separately, I think the whole, well, Wonder Woman and Power Girl as lovers would be...
That'd be interesting.
Sure. But I'm with him on the ugh in the sense that this was like 2 episodes ago and we're still talking about it.
Yeah, I feel like you could make a whole podcast just discussing
just this every week.
Superman's love life and Wonder Woman's love life. I don't know.
I'm over it.
There's so many subjects we can go on, but let's retire that one.
Yeah, I think we're done. And on the films, The Fountain is a romance story first, and it's also some sort of
never seen it.
Oh, it's like
I have no idea what it is.
It's a Buddhist fable. It's a science fiction story.
Is there a fountain?
It's about the Fountain of Youth.
Okay.
And it's also about it's a lot like Audition.
Okay.
Because you've got more than one reality and you don't know which one are they all real?
Mm.
Is only one of them real and the others are a fiction, which are meant to represent what the people are feeling? So you've got Hugh Jackman in this and his wife is dying and he's a doctor working in a near future Montreal. It's not supposed to be Montreal, but
it's Montreal.
It's filmed in Montreal.
You can tell.
So he's a doctor working on a special fungus that might be the cure to her cancer.
Okay.
But at the same time, she's writing a book about him being a conquistador who goes to find the Fountain of Youth in Latin America.
Okay.
So you also see that story where Hugh Jackman is a conquistador and the Fountain of Youth would also have the cure. It's the same fungus or tree or it's the same plant that he's working on. And then you've also got these freak out Jodorowsky style outer space sequences where he's some sort of bald hermit on a tree floating in space.
Oh.
So are we seeing, you know, he was a conquistador, so was she, was like a Spanish queen or a Spanish princess in that story, and then he did find the Fountain of Youth, and then they were immortal, and so we're seeing him as a doctor now, but he's the same guy, just hundreds of years on. Okay. And then we're also seeing the future, where he's finishing the book, but he's alone, but he's with the tree that gives
spoilers.
Him...
Spoilers, you're spoiling our audience.
It's... I mean, it's... You've got to see it to understand it. But it is a love story that transcends space and time. So he's right. As far as saying The Little Mermaid is trite.
Don't want to get into that.
I don't want to antagonize anyone. Especially if half of the commenters would be Little Mermaid fans.
I've seen it once. That's good.
Yeah. Sure. although I prefer the Hans Christian Andersen. There was a cartoon back in the day.
You talked about that before.
Yeah, where the mermaid actually commits suicide at the end.
Oh my God. You like more the suicide version.
The suicide one made me cry as a child.
Okay.
And I think it's still the better story. I mean, give or take some songs.
Yeah.
There was no talking lobster in that one.
That was a downside to me.
So that's the end of the comments per se. The Facebook likes and shares from people we didn't mention already: Nathalie Gauguin, Bill Nolan, Jim Austin, Sebastien Andry. Google Plus likes and shares. Yes,
we're on Google Plus.
There are people on Google Plus, and the podcast is.
I have Google Plus.
Yeah, Gene Hendrix and the Hammer Strikes, who are one and the same, but they both he liked it twice.
Oh wow!
Twitter retweets and favorites from Eli, Count Druncula, Greg A, Katie, Firestorm Fan, and Trekker Talk. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Leave a comment on the blog at lonelyheartspodcast.wordpress.com or on iTunes or on Facebook. The page is Lonely Hearts Romance Comics Podcast. Or on Twitter, I'm Siskoid. Fern is Idiot Brigadier. Bass is Revue_Bass, REVUE_BASS. And Marty is Marty Light. The views expressed on this podcast belong solely to the speaker. All music, audio clips, and images are used for entertainment purposes only and are believed covered under fair use. We don't make any money off this program, so no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks for listening.
Here's to the losers. Here's to the losers. Bless them all.
The Return of the Sith.
All right.
What's
your vote?
Welcome.
Who cares?
Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Lonely... Arrêtez.
Welcome to the world of Pokemon.
C'est la pire catégorie des... Okay, I'll be called Mike Tonight.
Mike Tonight sounds like a great late night
Mike
show.
Tonight.
Mike Tonight.
Come see Mike Tonight.
For your pleasure, I'll be Mike Tonight.
Welcome to Siskoid Nights.
I'll be heading towards your deep space
night.
Oh, jeez.
We're going to make a pissed up in Uranus.
Come on.